The time is 9:01 a.m. on July 15th, 2024, and I'm convening the video conference and telephone conference meeting of the Personnel Committee of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association. This meeting is being conducted pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act and the association's antitrust policy. All information disclosed or discussed is to be used only for carrying out the association of the business of the association. Proper notice of this meeting was filed on July 3rd, 2024, and published in the Texas Register in accordance with the Texas Open Meetings Act. A copy of the notice should be attached to the summary of the official minutes of this meeting. A quorum is achieved as all three members of the committee have been confirmed to be present by video or audio conference. Also in attendance are General Counsel Jackie Rickson, Executive Director Bart Bowles, and Association employees Jarrett Terry and Topping Haggerty. And from the Department of Insurance are Sean Martin and Mandy Vasquez. Okay, so item one on the agenda is the consent agenda regarding the minutes. Has everyone reviewed the minutes? Anyone have a motion? Want to move the proposed motion?
I move the.
Wait, Jackie, were you saying something?
Yes. Before we get to that, there does need to be a slight amendment to the minutes, and yes, well, to the minutes itself. And so now I'm looking at that. Oh, it's under item one. So how come I'm not seeing this?
Because we had cleaned up that language before we put it in the book, but there was during the minutes of the meeting, and we just didn't capture this correctly, there was an adjustment to the minutes that had been presented, and it's right here, Jackie, in this item.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
If you want to describe
So
that.
what the adjustment would be is to describe in that first line where it says, upon a motion made by Director Somer and seconded by Director Lewis with the suggested edit, is to say what the suggested edit is. And the reason for that is there's no way, other than listening to the recording, that anyone would have any idea what that edit was. And so I think we just want to be clear what the edit was. And so what should follow after that is so with the suggested edit to item 7 to reflect the correct date January 9, 2024 rather than 2023.
So, David, this was to correct the minutes dealing with the consent item of the prior meeting's minutes.
Correct.
So it's a little bit dot in the I's and cross the T's, but it is necessary.
Right. So do we?
So we can have a motion and then you can have the second, and then before you take the vote for any discussion, we can put it in there, or we can put it in there after the motion and before the second.
Okay, do we have a motion?
So moved.
Okay, do we have a second?
Second.
Okay.
And so for the discussion, it would be to make an insertion in the minutes to the January 9 Personnel Committee meeting to clarify what the suggested edit was to the minutes that were adopted. And the suggested edit then would be after the word suggested edit in item one to insert to item 7 to reflect the correct date January 9, 2024 rather than 2023. And then you can just ask David if there's any further discussion or if you're ready for a second.
Well, you already have the
Okay.
second.
Oh, you
I
already
already
have.
have a
I'm
second.
sorry.
Is there any further discussion on the minutes? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. So, item two, consideration and possible action on the, sorry, lost my space on them. The non-salary benefits provided to the association employees, including insurance plan renewals. Bart, you have information there.
Yes, and the information distributed to the committee, which we did that, prepared it and finished it last Wednesday. It was distributed on Thursday. At that time, we did not have the renewals yet. It's always kind of a race if we can get these in time. They came in late Friday. So let me update you. And I should begin with, you see these non-salary benefits twice a year. You see them in January when they are incorporated into the operating budget. That the board will be asked to adopt for the calendar year. And then you see them in July when we summarize them again and say, okay, it's renewal time. Here's what the new rates would be. So I will begin with the health insurance plan. You can see there we show currently a monthly premium for the five association employees of 4,288. I'm sorry, did I say five? Let's say four. Excuse me. Four association employees, 4,288.58 monthly, 51,462.96 annually. We did receive a renewal from our health insurance plan provider, and that is Blue Cross Blue Shield. And there was a 13.79% increase. So the new annual premium will be 58,560.12. That's $7,097 annual increase in premium. Our broker did provide us with an alternative from another insurance company. The benefits were slightly improved, but about $1,000 in additional premium. I looked at that and I'm making the recommendation that the benefit changes were inconsequential and don't warrant the change right now. And a 13% increase, or almost 14% increase in premium on health insurance is not unheard of. Normally, when we see a 30% or higher increase, we do some pretty hard shopping. I'm not recommending any change to our health insurance benefit plan. We'd like to just move forward and renew. So let me go ahead and repeat and go through the rest of these. We always talk about the health reimbursement arrangement. The committee is not recommended, and the board has not considered any change to that. So there's a $1,500 annual reimbursement amount. Up to 50% of that amount, if not used, may be carried over at the end of the year. And the maximum amount that can accrue as a reimbursement for any employee is $4,500. The dental insurance plan through Lincoln National, there was a renewal received, and there was no change to that premium. And it was actually stated that that rate would remain until September 30th, 2026. So no change, and the premium will be good for another 2 years. Long-term disability, there's a slight alteration report here. That $200.13 of total annual of a monthly amount, and then the 2,401 of annual premium changed just a little bit. I left these amounts in there because this ties back to the original amount presented to you in January in the budget. There were compensation changes for association employees, and when that changes, the long-term disability as well as the term life and AD&D coverage amounts change, so the premium slightly changed. So instead of $200.13 monthly, it's $207.70, $2,492.45 annually. That is the current rate. And Lincoln National provided a renewal at the same rate, and that rate would remain good until 9/30/26. Of course, there are compensation changes. There'll be a commensurate change, a small change in the premium. Term life and AD&D, same thing. The annual cost is shown here as $3,072.48. Our actual Current cost is $3,201.19 annually. Lincoln provided a renewal quote to remain at the same rate. And again, they said they would hold that until 9/30/26. So 2 year hold on that. So I'm not recommending any change in our coverages with Lincoln. That is the dental, the long-term disability, and then the term life and AD&D. Our 401k investing schedule has not changed at all. The 457 retirement plans you've set up additionally for me has not changed. Our carryover of sick, vacation, and personal leave remains unchanged. Association employees still have 12 paid holidays each calendar year. And then we provide parking benefits here at the building. So that's a summary of our non-salary benefits. There are just that small change in the health insurance premium. Jackie, I cannot recall if in the past we've had the committee recommend the board adopt that. I think it's always been within my authority to just renew.
Correct. Yes. I think this is a reporting item. And if the committee has anything they want to, comment on or suggest, then they can certainly do that.
Before the committee comments, I will say not having any complaints or issues raised by employees about the current coverages. So everything as far as employee benefits seem to be working quite well. And questions from the committee?
I don't see any.
Okay. Then
Okay.
we can move on.
Move on to item three, consideration and possible action on various elements of the executive employment and deferred compensation contract for the executive director. I believe this is just informational part.
Yes, it is. It's kind of a heads up of a couple of things that will happen either before the committee meets again or you will be considering inter-January meeting. the first one is an annual, there's an automatic adjustment in my contract for the cost of living adjustment. And that is done at January 1st of each year if the Social Security Administration has made a cost of living adjustment for the coming calendar year. Last year, that increase was, I believe, about, I had it in front of me, but a little less than 3%. The current projection for 2025, it's very early because usually this, you're not going to know until you see August, September, and October what the economy is doing. But the current projection is there would be a cost of living adjustment for 2025 of 2.36%. I'm sorry, 2.63%. My standard practice is when that is released, I send a notification to the committee to let you know this is the cost of living adjustment. Again, this is what the contract says, and I will move forward to implement this as of January 1. And if the committee has any questions, they can always respond to me. So a couple items that will be considered by the committee in 2025. Of course, the committee always has to look at my annual performance evaluation. The process here will have a little bit of change this year because, in the past, we've had general counsel and board counsel both working on this. So what I've written in here is that general counsel will distribute the evaluation forms to all the directors. And then the general counsel will assemble a compilation. There will probably need to be the involvement of the board chair in that compilation. Either the board chair will compile it or work with general counsel to compile it. And then that compilation and my self-evaluation would be submitted or distributed to the committee and all the directors in advance of your January meetings. The 457B payment, each year, the contract provides for an $18,000, $500 contribution by the end of January into the 457, but there's a discretionary increase. If, and it's on screen, you can see if I've met some performance requirements and the committee feels it is warranted, they may increase and contribute an additional amount up to the maximum amount permitted by the IRS. Last year, that maximum amount, it's actually for this calendar year, 2024, The maximum amount that can be attributed to a 457 is $23,000. And the committee did make that contribution or approved
Not the
it. The
committee,
board,
it's the board, isn't it?
yeah, committee recommended it. The board approved it. And that
Okay.
was made in January. You're right, Jim. So when I send the notification about the cost of living adjustment, if the disclosure on the contribution limits are also available, I will put them in the same email. So you won't have multiple emails coming from me. Usually that comes out in around mid-November. So the last thing is I'm required to make a disclosure each January if I've accepted any other employment activities on a contractual basis. I will tell you, I haven't. There hadn't been time to do anything else. You've had me fairly busy. So I could go ahead and make a disclosure now. I don't anticipate anything coming up. And if I were to ask, I'd say, sorry, I don't have time. So those are the items either that will occur before the next time you meet next January, or you will be addressing in January.
Okay, any comments or questions? All right, and we'll move on to item four, consideration and possible action on compensation study proposals. We'll be discussing this in executive session, but what do we want to talk about publicly?
We just want to disclose the process here publicly, of course, to remind the committee. Anytime we do an RFP, any proposals we have in hand, we do not disclose anything regarding the proposals or the entities that have submitted proposals until the board makes some decision on engagement. Then we can publicly discuss names. So I will just recap the process. The committee recommended and the board agreed to distribute an RFP this year. It's a little bit early because normally we span a longer period of time before updating and doing a compensation study. Studies have been done in 2004, 2012, and 2020. But because of some changes, pretty aggressive changes in the Austin marketplace, and to make sure we are as current as possible as we move towards some type of management transition, I'd recommend to the committee to do another study this year. The committee recommended that the board move, asked me to move forward with that. So on May 10th, I distributed the request for proposals to 10 firms that perform this work. Many of those were included the last time we distributed an RFP. There were three proposals submitted before the June 28th deadline. I sent elect or posted electronic versions of all three of those to the portal for the three committee members to review and provide me with their rankings. There was a scoring process set up. I have assembled a compilation of those, and we will discuss the details of the proposals and that compensation, or excuse me, compilation in executive session. There is a resolution on 4.2 of your materials that we will consider after the executive session. And there is a blank where you can insert the firm being recommended, and we will use either firm A, firm B, or firm C. Do not put in the firm name when we take that action. So, any questions on this before we move on? Because we're going to be doing the details in executive session.
Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to item five, consideration and possible action on succession plans. Again, informational part.
Yes. Yeah, when I originally drew up the agenda, I didn't know if this might be an action item or not. But after doing the drafting, there was nothing to take any action on. It's just reporting. I wanted to report on two succession plans that are underway. The General Counsel Search Committee has been working diligently on trying to identify a new general counsel to replace Ms. Rixon that will be retiring at year end. They've had four meetings. They have their fifth meeting this afternoon, and they may reach a point of making a recommendation for the board to consider on July 23rd. So I just wanted to say if that were to occur, the remaining steps in that process would be during August, September, and October. There will be negotiation of the specific terms of the engagement with the chosen candidate. That engagement should be finalized on October 29th during the full board of directors meeting. And the onboarding and transition would begin on November 1st and continue through year end. So that's where we are in the process. And you will hear more about this during the board meeting. So after that, there will be the succession plan to find my replacement. This is still a little bit of a soft schedule. I will touch on this with the board in the July 23rd meeting and then again during the October meeting. So the board can consider and decide how they want to proceed, whether this should go through the personnel committee, go through the entire board, go through a smaller search committee. They need to decide on the structure of how they're going to move forward with the search. One of the things we've not talked about in the past, it was quite some time ago, but when the association was looking for an exec director, a search firm was utilized. So that's always an option. But once the committee, excuse me, the board decides on what committee or a different committee might want to work on this and how to move forward, we will develop a more firm time frame. But the target would be to do the search in the first and second quarters of 2025, move forward with screening interviews during the third and fourth quarters of 2025, and then early in 2026, finalize the negotiations and engage an executive director. And this would allow in the last three quarters of 2026, what I call a shadowing of me, to see how we fulfill certain responsibilities as they arise throughout the year, rather than here are the documents and a couple of day meeting, here's a drink through the fire hose. Take the time to see how it's done currently and allow that person to become familiar with the process and decide if that's something they'd like to continue or change. So that is the game plan. That is the timeline. And there will be more discussed on this as the board decides the process that they are comfortable using. Questions?
No. Okay. Are we ready to move to executive session?
Yes, we are.
The time is 9:24 a.m. on July 15th, 2024, and I am recessing the regular session of the Personnel Committee meeting of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association in order for the committee to meet in executive session pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act. 9:33 a.m. on July 16th.
Can you say the time again?
Sorry. The time is 9:33 a.m. on July 16th, 2024. The executive session of the Personnel Committee of the meeting has concluded, and I'm reconvening the regular session of the Personnel Committee meeting pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act.
This may be stupid, but you might mention the date thing because that was on a different recording.
Yes, please. But it is the
Yes.
16th, not the 15th.
Yes. So the previous language convening and recessing the meeting had incorrectly said July 15th when it should have been July 16th. Okay, so we have from the executive session discussion, we have a resolution that resolved that the Board of Directors of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association accepts the nomination from its person. Oh, well, is this the right resolution?
Yeah, well, you're going to recommend this
okay, that we're
resolution.
proposing that this resolution
Yes.
be sent to the full board to engage firm C to conduct a compensation and benefit study for the association's employees.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay, item 8 is consideration and possible action regarding the committee's 2024 calendar of activities. and next meeting date. Our next meeting date is next year. Anybody have any concerns or problems with the January 14th, 2025?
None for me.
Okay.
Just 1 second. I forgot to check that.
Will you be still on the board, Mr. Lewis?
I think my term ends like September
2025
or something like that.
Oh, I thought it was 2024. Okay.
Well, you tell me. You know better than I do when it ends, but I thought it was 2025.
It's either 25 or 26. I know, Jim, but we have communicated your desires to TDI.
Notices of a board appointment of a board vacancy this year, and we just had a meeting, so I think your guesstimate is not being this year is correct.
I won't take the time to do it right now, but Jim, we can double check your date and let you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. January 14th, 2025 still look good?
Yes.
Sounds like it.
I confirm Lewis is correct. 2025, September 30th.
Okay, is there anything else?
Chair Summer, that's all we have today. Fairly brief meeting.
Please okay. Make a note that Topping Haggerty was trying to bump me off the board.
Fine, it will be noted clearly in the minutes.
The time is 9:37 a.m. on July 16th, 2024, and this meeting of the Personnel Committee of the Board of Directors of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association that has been held pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act is adjourned.